Anne-Marie, one of our deacons, is going to speak the word of God to us. And just prepare your hearts. Let's just pray for her as she prepares to share with us. Lord God, we pray for Anne-Marie. We pray, Lord, you'll fill her with your spirit. And Lord, we pray for our own hearts that they will receive your word right now. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, Hope Church. So good to be here. I was thinking this morning as I was dressing up, it's so strange to actually be in the Hope Center. Most of the times I'm like you, I'm sitting in my living room, I've got the family around me, and I'm not rushing around to get here on a Sunday morning. So yeah, really pleased to be here. I've got a group of young men behind the screens who are going to make sure that you can hear me and I'm doing it right. So I'm grateful for all of them. But I was thinking as I was dressing up, the past 2 months, this Hope Center, it's only been 4 people in here. It's been the Carr family coming in every Sunday morning, bringing us the service with a smile. And I was just thinking it's just been so wonderful to actually be able to sit down and have the live stream. So I want to start by saying thank you to the Carrs. Thank you, Pastor Darian. Thank you, Maggie. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Aaron, for being so faithful and consistent the past 2 months and just doing this Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And I'm sure everybody wants to say thank you. So yeah, pop your thanks on the chat, send them a WhatsApp message, send them an email. Let's just express our gratitude. But yeah, we're so grateful for you guys. I want to join my voice to everybody else in saying Happy Mother's Day to all of the women of Hope Church. And that's whether you're a biological mother, or you're a stepmother, or you're a grandmother, or you're an auntie, whether you're a spiritual mother, or you're a mentor, or you're a teacher, whichever way you're speaking into the lives of this generation of people coming up after you, I just want to salute you this morning and to say Happy Mother's Day. I listened to Amanda's testimony last week, and I thought it was just amazing, this picture of us doing life together and being family together. And as a mom, I've got daughters, and I'm so grateful that I have women around me that I can point my daughters to. I have sisters that I can tell them to, oh, go and have a chat with your auntie if you don't think I'm saying the right thing. So I'm really grateful for that. I'm grateful for women who will speak God's truth into my children's lives. I'm grateful for people who will stand with me in the place of prayer and contend for their lives. So yeah, whichever way that you do that, whichever way that you speak into this next generation, God bless you this morning. I want to start by praying for a special group of mothers, actually. I've just really got on my heart to pray. If you're a mother or a mother figure this morning, and you've got a child or a child figure and you're really worried about them. So you've got a child or a person that you care for, and you have a real fear that they're not going to make it. It might be that you're afraid for them because of something physical. So you've got a child who is unwell, a child who's got a physical ailment, and you're really afraid. Or it might be something emotional, that you look at their lives and you look at some of the choices they're making, and you feel this fear in your heart, and you're really worried and really afraid for them. It may be something spiritual, that you can see the way they're going, and you know that this is only going to lead to destruction, and you feel just a deep sense of fear and dread. I want to pray for you this morning. I love the Bible because it's got everything in it, every picture, everything that we can imagine in life. And I read the story this week in Genesis chapter 21 of Hagar. And you probably know the story, Abraham and Sarah, and they didn't have a child. And so they got Hagar to have a child. But when Sarah had a child, she thought it was too much tension in the home. They needed to send Hagar away. And so Abraham sent her away, gave her some bread, gave her a skin of water, a jug of water, whatever, and sent her away with her child. And they got into the wilderness, and Hagar, she ran out of water, and she put her child to one side. And the Bible says in Genesis 21, verse 6, she put him aside, and she said, I don't want to watch him die. And she went to the other end, and she was crying. And in that place, God shows up, and he speaks to Hagar, and he opens her eyes to his provision. And she was crying over an empty jug, and God shows her a well. This is the God we serve. This is the God that was then. This is the God that is now. And so if you're sitting there and you're thinking, this child is going to die and I can't do anything about it, I want us to join our hearts and join our hands and pray together to the God who does exceedingly, the God who does abundantly, the God who does above all we can ask or imagine. Come on, you may not be with the person. If you are with the person, grab them by the hand. But even if you're not, let's pray together. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you this morning. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for every mother, every mother figure. We thank you because you see our worry, you see our fear. Lord Jesus, we thank you because you are more than enough. Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, for every young person who we carry in our hearts with worry or fear. I pray, Lord, where there is physical illness, you will bring healing. Lord, I pray that where there is disability, you will bring ability, you will bring health. Father, Lord, I pray that where there is lack, you will bring your provision. Father, I pray for the mothers this morning. I pray, Lord Jesus, that where there is despair, you will bring hope. Lord, I pray that where there is fear, you will bring faith. Lord Jesus, I pray that where there is worry, will you cause us to look to you in worship, Lord Jesus? And Father, we just pray that your power will be released to make a difference, Lord Jesus, this morning, in the situations that weigh on our hearts, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We thank you because your love is more than enough. We thank you because you are the God who sees us, who knows us, who calls us by name. Lord, I pray peace, Lord Jesus, to every worried heart this morning. Lord, will you bring your peace? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Right. Okay. I've got one more thing to say before I start preaching. And I am going to keep to time. My daughter has made me some amazing cards, and Aaron is going to flash them in my face when I'm running out, just so I can keep to time. But one more thing to say before I get into the word. So we started off this year, with a week of prayer. How many of you were in that? If you were in that, you can pop something in the chat if you were there. But yeah, we had a week of prayer in January, as we often do, and we did it on Zoom. And it was an amazing time. But this year we face a year that is different from every other year that we faced. Because this year we started in lockdown. We kind of hope that through the spring and the summer we're in a season of coming out of lockdown. And who knows, maybe by the end of the year we might be back to what we call normal. Impossible to say. But as a church, we want to go and approach each phase of this year with prayer. And so, we're having another week of prayer coming up. And it's the week of the 29th of March. When I was growing up, I grew up in an Anglican church. We call that the Holy Week. So we're going to do a proper Holy Week and come together in prayer from the Monday to the Thursday of that week. Now, we're doing this on Zoom, 7:30 p.m. for 30 minutes every night. Now, 30 minutes. I had a meeting a few weeks ago with some of the prayer leaders. And Lynn was saying when she first heard that announcement, oh, we're going to do prayers on Zoom for 30 minutes. She kind of thought to herself, there's no way it's going to be 30 minutes. But it was 30 minutes for the most part. And it is going to be 30 minutes. So put the dates in your calendar. If you have little children, they go to bed at 7. You pray at 7:30. If you have older children, they go to bed at 8. You pray at 7:30. And I just want to say, you might be sitting there and thinking to yourself, this isn't for me. This is for the prayer people. That's how the enemy works. He gives us these funny ideas. I just want to say it's for all of us. We love the prayer people. We love the prayer warriors. But if you're a bit like me and sometimes you come to the place of prayer and not quite sure what to say, this is for you. See, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 10:10, it says, if the iron is blunt, so if the knife is blunt and you don't sharpen the edge, you put forth much strength. So you're trying to cut something, but it's a blunt knife. It takes a lot of effort. And then it says in the book of Proverbs that iron sharpens iron, and so we sharpen one another. That's what we do when we gather to pray, yeah? We sharpen one another. We make our prayer lives better. We give God the opportunity to stir us up. So make a note of this date. It is for you. Let's come together. Let's pray together. God is doing some amazing things, and we want to be part of that. Hallelujah. Right. I could stay here and I could talk about prayer for my 30 minutes, but that's not my assignment this morning. So I'm going to move on, and we're going to get into the word. Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you because your word says that you bring light to us with your word. And so we pray, Lord Jesus, this morning that the entrance of your word will bring light to the dark places in our lives. We pray for understanding in our hearts. We pray for a stirring of our spirits. Holy Spirit, we ask that you breathe on your word this morning and that it will make a difference to us in Jesus' name. Amen. This month, we've been thinking about the fact that it's been a year now since we last had service at Brookweston. And Faye confirmed that yesterday, actually. It's been nearly exactly a year to the day. And I remember that last service, and I remember thinking, oh, we're not going to meet. And I have to be honest, I thought, we're probably not going to meet for a few weeks. And I thought, maybe a few months. There's no way I would have expected that 1 year down the line we will be here and we haven't had the chance to be together at Brookweston worshiping. It's been a very, very strange time. And there have been a lot of changes, so much has changed in the past year. I wonder if you can look at your life and see some changes. I know for some people, those changes haven't been very pleasant. I'm praying today that God will bring comfort to your hurting places, that God will bring his peace where there's been trouble. But yeah, life has changed. You can't just get up and go watch a movie. You can't go to the pubs or restaurants. Now we've gone in lockdown, out of lockdown, some restrictions, no restrictions. There's so much that has changed. This morning, I feel like God will have me share two things that I think he wants us to hold on to as we approach the next season. The first one in this season of change is to remind you that we serve a God who does not change. Our God is unchangeable. The Bible says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, it says, I am the Lord, I do not change. Because I've been thinking about some of the words that we've been using in the past few months. Words that we would not have used before now, or words that we would have used differently before now. COVID-19, for example, never heard of it until the end of December 2019. Pandemic, it used to be for me a word to describe something in history. Maybe you're a young person watching and you could think of some words that you had never even heard of at all. Quarantine, it used to be something that people did when they had the plague or something. Now we use it all the time. Self-isolate. I was working when the pandemic started, so that word, that phrase, I really hated it, because back then we didn't really have all of this testing. So if someone coughed in your house, all of you had to self-isolate. If someone had a temperature, everybody had to self-isolate. And so at work, it became a phrase for somebody's not coming to work and you're all going to have to work harder to cover for it. Self-isolate. Bubble. It used to be bubble bath for the kids, or bubble, you go outside, you run around with them, you're blowing bubbles. And now it means something totally different. Our words have changed. Our world has changed. Our vocabulary has changed. The things we're saying, the way we plan. If you're going to have an event, you have to think about social distancing. You have to think about, where you put people, how you place people, hand washing stations. It's all so different. And it's such a comfort in the midst of that difference to look up to a God who is unchangeable. He says, I am the Lord, I change not. I found a big word for this in my Bible. It's the word immutable. Love it. Immutable. It means, and I always look up big words because sometimes I think they mean one thing and I look at them and they mean something else. But yeah, it means, if I can find it in my notes, it means that he's unchanging over time, unable to be changed. But in my Bible commentary, it says, it is the perfection of Yahweh that he changes not in character, in will, in purpose, in aim. It is the perfection of Yahweh that he changes not. So my friends, this means that in a world where we're speaking of a downturn in the economy, or in a world where you may have lost your job and not be quite sure how things are going to pan out, it means that the God who says he is your provider is still your provider. It means that in a world where you may have a lot of trouble, things to sort out, things that you're unsure of. In a world where we can't plan anything because you cannot plan and you think, but if the rules change, then we have to change those plans. It means that we can look into the face of this loving Father and know that when he says, I know the plans that I have for you. They are plans of good, plans to prosper you, plans to give you a future, plans to give you a hope. He cannot change. His plans are set. His word is settled forever in heaven. But you know the best thing about God that I love that doesn't change? His love for us does not change. So good, so good. If we are good, he loves us. If we are bad, he loves us just the same. It's amazing. He says in Jeremiah, he says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And that's a love that is present and fervent and abiding, whether we are active in church or whether we're sort of taking a bit of a step back, whether we feel like we're doing great or whether we feel like we're not doing very well at all. God's love does not change. He loves us the same. Oh, something else about God that doesn't change, the fact that he says he is our peace. That doesn't change, doesn't change, doesn't change. He stays the same, whatever that we're going through. So yeah, let's bear that in mind. Whatever changes come our way in this new season, let's remember that the God that we serve is unchangeable. He is immutable. Hallelujah. And then I'm going to go on and speak about something else. You know, the psalmist said in Psalm 103, verse 2, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forget not all his benefits. So for some people, this season has had some benefits. And it may be that you can think of something that has been a benefit to you in this season and pop it in the chat. It may be that you write something on there that somebody else is taking for granted and it might just sort of stir them up to praise God and worship him for something. Have you had any benefits from this lockdown season? I can think of some benefits that people have had. I've had a few people at work who are buying houses because there's no stamp duty to pay at a certain price. So they've sort of rushed onto it and tried to buy a house while that's available to them. There have been other benefits that you can think about. Think about the fact that you're not traveling as much, maybe, and not spending as much money on petrol, not paying for the kids' swimming lessons, gymnastics, and all of those things that they do that add up so much at the end of the month. There might be benefits. Yesterday we met with the women and we asked for three words to describe this season. And for so many people there, they talked about being closer to God, and I think that's just an amazing benefit for people. For some people, it's been an opportunity to slow down and just kind of get back into a rhythm of life that they enjoy. So there have been benefits for some people. I think one of the benefits has been that it's almost like an explosion on the internet of things of God. There's just so much stuff out there. I was talking to my sister in Nigeria last week, and she joins a prayer meeting, and her friends from America are on that prayer meeting, and there are thousands of people praying together online, and I just think it's amazing. One thing that has been a benefit for me, I find that on a Sunday, I can attend a couple of church services. It's so good. So we do the Hope Church service, we sit down in the living room, and that's church. We come to it, and it's church. But then I go into the kitchen to make lunch and I switch my phone on and I jump into a different continent and another time zone and I do another church service while I'm making lunch. And I might be lucky and I might even get a third church service in, making dinner in the evening, or if I've been up early, I might get one in then. But I just think it's so amazing that we've got all of this content online. The thing is though, a lot of the churches that I watch have got so many people watching. So I'm looking at the YouTube comments and I'm looking at the numbers, like 7,000, 25,000. I'm like, oh my goodness. There's multitudes and multitudes of people tuning in to church services and tuning in to Christian stuff and listening to Christian music. There's crowds of people. And as I was thinking about that, I thought about the story in Mark chapter 5, verse 24 to 34. I should have got someone to read this for me, actually. Give me a minute. I'm going to read it. We might know that story. It's the story of the woman with the issue of blood. You should have it come up on your screen, the NIV version. I'm reading the New King James, so yeah, you can just follow the text or just follow me as I read. Mark chapter 5, verse 24. It says, "So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him." Now the NIV or other versions will say they crowded around him, they pressed into him. "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and she was no better, but rather she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, 'If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well.' Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned round in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' But his disciples said to him, 'You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, "Who touched me?" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.'" And I read that verse and I thought about multitudes and crowds surrounding Jesus and pressing into Jesus. And I think now, as we click on the button and we join the live service, how many thousands of people are doing that across the UK and even across the world. Crowds of people tuning into live services, crowds of people tuning into the Christian message, multitudes of people. And in the middle of that crowd, Jesus turns around and he asks, "Who touched me?" And so my question to you this morning is, if God was to scan the earth and look at all of these people who are tuning in and watching the live stream, will he make eye contact with you and know that you are touching him? That you are not just being a part of the crowd, that you are not just clicking a button, but you are intentional about making contact with Jesus Christ. That you are intentional about making contact with the person and the power of God. That you are intentional about touching him. And I think that this is what God has to say to us today, just to remind us to be intentional about making contact with him. I was thinking about this. It's interesting. I have worked through most of this pandemic, and the times when I've had time off have actually been my most difficult times, in a sense, because when I have work, I'm up early, I'm in the word early, I'm praying early, and then I'm hitting the streets, going out, I'm going where I need to go. But when the times when I've been off, I kind of think I don't have to get up because I'm not really going anywhere, and so I'll pray a bit later, and then I might read my Bible a bit later, but then I may not read my Bible, and before I know it, I'm sort of, it's day one, day two, and by day three, I'm thinking, oh, don't feel right, because I haven't actually spent as much time in the Word, and I haven't actually spent as much time in prayer. And I did this over the half term. I had a few days off, and I was actually thinking about this message, and I was trying to pray and trying to fast and just feeling a bit, not just feeling it very much at all. And God put one word in my spirit. And if you remember nothing else today and you hear nothing else today, hear the word fervent. Hear the word fervent. Because I feel like this is what God has spoken to me to say to you. This is how God wants us to walk this Christian walk. He wants us to stay fervent. This is how God wants us to approach the season that we walk into. He wants us to stay fervent. I'm going to read a verse from Romans chapter 12, verse 11, where it says we shouldn't be lagging in diligence. We should be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Fervent. Another word that I looked up here, it means to be hot, to be burning, to be glowing, having or displaying a passionate intensity. Having or displaying a passionate intensity. Now stop for a minute and think about your Christian life. Think about your walk with God. Are you displaying a passionate intensity? Are you hot? Are you glowing? Are you burning? Or are you sitting on your couch and clicking on the button and thinking, when is she going to finish? You need to be hot. You need to be intentional in your walk with God. And I feel like that's what God will say to us. There's so many people that I have spoken to in the past few months who have just lost their motivation. Life is so different, and you feel like you can't get up and go anywhere and do what you want to do. So it's easy to just feel like your motivation is just sort of draining away. And God will say to us this morning, I want you to stay fervent. I want you to stay fervent. It may not feel like the popular thing to do. You may think that it's okay just to watch the service. I don't need to do too much more. But God has called us to more than that. He wants you to be hot for him. I was looking at a science experiment because I was trying to think, what's the difference? Hot, lukewarm, cold, what is the difference? And I saw the science experiment and they were describing how particles move a lot faster when the liquid is hot. So everything goes quicker. You're moving when you're hot. And I think about that, and I think that's what God wants us to be doing. He wants us to be moving towards Jesus, constantly in motion towards Jesus. You cannot be lukewarm about your Christianity in this season. The time to be lukewarm is gone. It's gone because God is doing something amazing. The church is coming out of this season and we're coming out to a place of a mighty harvest of souls. And God wants us ready, my friends. It's not time to play church now. Can't play church anymore. There's no church, no buildings. Eh? It's time to live it out, to work it out. And how do we stay fervent? It's not really about how good you are and how nice you are to your neighbors. We stay fervent by constantly moving towards Jesus. And we move towards him by making space for him in our everyday lives. Quiet time is an old phrase, but it's such an important thing to have the time in your day that you spend with Jesus. Time to talk to him, time to hang out with him, time to listen to him, time to know this immutable, unchangeable God. Time to discover these truths that he has put in his word. So important that we're spending time every day in God's word. I brought my preacher's Bible today. I like my preacher's Bible. Nice and big. It makes me feel very, very, very spiritual when I hold it. The thing is, I have to read it for it to actually make a difference in my life, yeah? God has put his word there. So we have something to look at, something to remind us of who he is, something to remind us when we're feeling a bit lost and a bit weary. And you know what I love about the Bible? It's got everything. Every human situation that you can think about is in there. And in this season, I've actually found myself falling in love with those Old Testament stories. There are parts of the Old Testament that I didn't like to read. I just thought, oh, it's such hard work. But now I look at the Old Testament, I get really excited because we see a God who comes down and he walks with his people. And then you see him being best friend to somebody. You see him with David walking through good, walking through bad. You see him with Jeremiah, and Jeremiah keeps using that phrase. He's the God of angel armies. He's the God of hosts. You see him revealing himself as he walked with them day by day. And this is what God wants to do in our lives, my friends. He wants to reveal himself to us as we walk with him day by day. He wants us to stay fervent and to be constantly moving towards Jesus. And that's why we meet together. And that's why we do the Zoom meetings. And that's why we do Zoom life groups. And that's why we have prayer partners, because we need each other to stay on this journey, to sharpen one another, to keep us pressing in towards Jesus. So two things today that I want us to go away with. Number one, God isn't changing. He hasn't changed. He will never change. Get into his word. Come on. Whatever you're facing, whatever that situation is, whatever that circumstance is, get into his word and remind yourself what he says about it, so that you can remind the devil what God says about it, and you can stand on his word and speak the victory of Jesus. Come on. He wants us to be fervent, because in this world, you will have tribulation. So things will happen that just knock you for six. But if you know his word and you know who he is and you know he's not changing and you're pressing towards him, then you can press on and hold on to his joy in spite of what you face. We listened to Sylvia's testimony yesterday in the women's meeting and it was so, so amazing just to listen and to see how her faith shone through something that was such a difficult season. Why? Because she remembered God's word. Because she knew who he was. She said, oh, it was a really difficult time, but she never asked God why. That really struck me. I said it to the ladies yesterday. Because she said, oh, I didn't ask him why, because I knew it wasn't God who was doing this. You need to know him to know that he's not bringing evil into your life. You need to know him to know that his plans for you are good. You need to know him to know that he has called you to something that is bigger than you and that he walks in you to bring his purpose to fruition. Come on. He's a good God. He's a good God. And he's not changing anytime soon. And he calls us to pursue him, not in a way that is lukewarm and lazy. He calls us to go after him in a way that is intense and purposeful. Let's put our focus on Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has a good plan, my friends. He has a good plan. He has a good plan. Don't let the enemy trick you into thinking that, you know, this Christianity is too hard. Don't let the voice in your head that says, I'm not feeling it today. It's fine. It's fine. I came in and faced it. How are you feeling? I said, I'm not feeling. I refuse to feel today. I'm just going to focus on Jesus. Keep your eyes on him. Keep your eyes on him. I'm out of time. Just about out of time, I think. Garrel is going to lead us in a song. And I wonder as we sing, whether you would just look at your own life and think about where you are. It may be that you've never made a decision to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. It may be that you've never been quite sure what to believe or who he is. I just want to tell you today, he is Lord and he loves you and his plan for you is good. It may be that you're sitting there and you feel like your Christian life has gone really cold in this lockdown, that you feel like it's almost as if God is isolating from you, or you feel like he's just at a distance from you. I just want to tell you, he's near. He's always near. He hasn't shifted. He hasn't changed position.